Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We are in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. I want to remind you that Philip, one of the deacons, one of the seven, had been blessed by God with a tremendous ministry in a place where, you know, the Jews were just not that eager to go. But because of the persecution that had broken out after Stephen's martyrdom, the church was scattered, and just the apostles stayed behind in Jerusalem. And Philip, one of the other deacons, had gone down to Samaria, and there he was being greatly used of God. We read last week about that, and now we see, beginning in verse 26, what happens next. This is God's word. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, there's a lot of supernatural stuff in this, isn't there? I mean, we start out with an angel speaking to Philip and telling him to go somewhere, and then he meets up with somebody, and coincidentally, the guy is reading the scroll of Isaiah. Isn't that lucky? And then at the very end of the thing, after the guy's been converted and baptized, the Spirit of God just plucks Philip out of that situation. Imagine if you're the Ethiopian, you just got saved, and now the guy who led you to Christ has disappeared. Okay? That's what's described here. The Spirit of the Lord took him away suddenly, and he appeared at Azotus. Wow. Do we really take this seriously? I mean, is this just mythology and kind of, you know, or is this history? Folks, this is history. And it isn't just history. It is God's word. It is true, every bit of it. If your worldview doesn't line up with this, guess what? This isn't the problem. Your worldview is. You need, and I need, to have our minds renewed so that our lives will be transformed by the power of God. And the first thing that we see in this passage is Philip's obedience. He had a great ministry in Samaria. I mean, he had to leave Jerusalem, but he went to Samaria, and God opened the hearts of the people, and folks got saved, and then the apostles came down, and they laid hands on the folks in the church, and they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, this is utterly amazing. He's got a great thing going there. God was doing miracles through him, remember? It was miraculous signs and wonders that were happening through the ministry of this evangelistic deacon. God was using him in a supernatural way. This seems like a good place to settle down. Sorry I didn't get to stay in Jerusalem, but now I've got a spot where God is really moving, and I am happy to be here. And God says, no, you need to go somewhere else. I have other plans for you. Now, I know from personal experience, I might have argued with God a bit, explained to him my plans, why I thought it'd be a good thing to stay right where I was. Have you ever felt like God was asking you to do something that wasn't appealing? I mean, you're in a community. You've got new believers. They're looking to you for leadership. You'd love to disciple them. And instead, God says, go out to that road in the desert. An angel of the Lord said to him, go out south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. Please don't overlook that. When God told him what to do and he knew it was the Lord's word, he went. He started out. What's the address? You just go to the road. The desert road. I need more information. Why am I going? What's going to happen when I get there? How will I know I'm at the right place? God continued to give him direction as he obeyed. If you want to know the will of God, do what he told you. Well, I need more. I need more direction. I need more specifics. You can't just expect me to go out into the desert when I don't even know what the plan is. Go. Okay, I'm going. Go. You go. You just do what he said. And as he went, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, if you check your footnotes, you'll find that actually the Ethiopia referred to here is the ancient area that is not called Ethiopia today. It has more to do with South Egypt and Sudan and all kinds of other things that I presume you're not interested in. If you are, get a study Bible and read that stuff. Okay, it's good. It's interesting. And Candace, now the newer translations have a more modern way of translating that. And when it says that she was queen of the Ethiopians, what that means is that the title that is translated here, Candace, refers to whoever was queen at the time. Okay, so it wasn't her name. Don't picture Candace, the woman. Picture the woman who was Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. All right? Isn't that helpful? That's what comes of further study. Now here's the thing. I would never have anticipated, if I'm told you're going to meet a foreign dignitary, I would never have guessed that the best place to do it was on a road in the desert. But God was the one who was setting all of this up. God was the one who had a plan. And so as he went and did what he was supposed to, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, Philip ran up to the chariot. Notice there's a progression here in his obedience. Initially, he's told do this, so he started out. Now he's told do this, so he runs to do it. I think that probably indicates the chariot was moving. And he has been told to go to the chariot and stay near it. Challenge there, the chariot is being pulled, we presume, by horses. It's moving. And he's not got a horse. No indication of that. He runs to it. It wouldn't say that if he was riding an animal. So he runs to do God's will. May that be a description of our lives. Eager. Even if it looks stupid, would you feel a little foolish if somebody is in a horse-drawn chariot and you're running to catch up with them and then you have to stay next to them? Okay. I mean, I would think this lowers the credibility factor. But when he gets there, he begins to understand why God has sent him to this place at this time. Because when he gets there, he can hear what the guy is reading, because the guy's reading it aloud. And what the guy is reading is the best passage he could possibly be reading in the entire Bible that was available at that time. They didn't have the New Testament scriptures yet. So out of the entire Bible, which was the Old Testament, out of all the scriptures he could have read, I mean, it's all about Jesus, but none more clearly than this passage from Isaiah. And not only is the guy reading it, but he wants to understand it. Because you see, God didn't just send the messenger, he prepared the recipient. My son Andrew heard through a translator from a fellow in a really remote part of South China. I've always known that there had to be a God greater than the gods we worship. But we had no one to tell us. And so they got to tell him. On Cape Cod, some people visited our church and said, would you please go visit my relatives? They live just a few towns down. I said, sure, give me their address. Be sure it's okay with them if I come by. I took one of the guys from the church. We went over there on a Sunday afternoon. And we did a typical evangelism explosion presentation, which can be very effective at times. And the fellow said to us when I asked him, do you know for certain that if you would die right now, you'd go to heaven? He said, no. And so we shared the gospel with him. And he prayed to receive Christ. And after he'd prayed, he said, my wife and I have been waiting for years for someone to come and tell us how we could be saved. We think everybody out there is resistant. Some are. But there are others who are eagerly waiting for someone to come and tell them the truth. Who prepares those people? God does. So what we need to do is be obedient and go where he sends us and say what he tells us and let him do the work. So God sent the messenger, God prepared the recipient, he was reading the word he wanted to understand, and he was at the best possible passage in the scriptures for somebody to be looking at in the Old Testament. I cannot count the number of Jewish believers who say that the thing that drew them to faith in Messiah was reading Isaiah. This passage, God is still using his word today. So Philip starts where the man is and tells him the good news about Jesus. Now, what if he'd been in a different passage? Well, then you want to take him to this passage and say, no, let me show you here. No, God prepared the fellow. He was in the ideal passage, but suppose he'd been elsewhere. Start with people where they are. If you want to lead someone to Christ, start with them where they are. And from there, you help them understand the good news about Jesus. Please understand, he didn't go into a history lesson about Isaiah. He moved the discussion from where the man was reading to help him understand that Jesus is the answer. All these prophecies pointed to him. And so he shared with him, it says, the good news about Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, I want to remind you of what the gospel is. This is the gospel that you've already heard and you've already believed and on which you've taken your stand. This is what we're preaching. This is what it's all about. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's the kerygma. That's the truth in a capsule, okay? So, the evidence of conversion when this man believed is that he was eager to do whatever the Lord wanted. What did he do? Well, they continued to ride along. Philip is up there with him in the chariot. And as they traveled along the road, verse 36, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Now, why would he ask that question? Because he's now a follower of Jesus. And because he's a follower of Jesus, he wants to be doing what Jesus has said his followers are supposed to do. Why would he want to be baptized? What's the significance of that? It is a God-given picture of what Jesus did to save us. It's the gospel. He died, he was buried, and he was raised again on the third day. That's the gospel. He died according to the scriptures. He died for our sins. That's what God had said would happen. He was going to provide the sacrifice. And so Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. And so the picture of our union with him and our confidence in him as our Savior and our Lord is baptism. The man wanted to follow the Lord, and Philip wasn't the one who said, there's some water. Would you like to be baptized? This guy already knew from what Philip had said about what it means to follow Jesus that baptism is like a first step for a new believer. And therefore, he saw the water and he said, look, there's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And he ordered the chariot stopped, and Philip took him down and baptized him. So, God prepared the man. God saved the man. And then he took Philip away. I would have counseled against that. I would have said, Lord, this guy, he's going back to a place that is not Christianized. And he needs somebody to go along with him. If I'm not going to be in Samaria with those believers, don't you think I can ride with him in the chariot. He apparently has a good job in the government there, and I could perhaps plant a church there where he's from, and because he's going to need follow-up, and then eventually if you want me to go somewhere else. Apparently the Holy Spirit did not consult with Philip. He just took him and put him somewhere else. Why? Well, who was it that prepared the Ethiopian eunuch? God. Who was it that saved him? God. Who can be counted on to follow up with this new child of God? God. So Pastor, would you say that basically all we've got to do is evangelism and then we don't need to worry about discipleship? I wouldn't say that at all, because Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples, not just converts. But I'll tell you this, God works in mysterious ways and he knows what he's doing. He's in charge and he does what needs to be done. And you and I had better rely on him and not on technique. So, final point here is this business of the Holy Spirit taking him, just taking him away, putting him somewhere else. Is this the only place in the Bible where we see this kind of thing happening? No, actually it happened in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 16, we have references to this kind of thing in the life of Elijah. You talking about the fiery chariot? No, that's separate. But when he goes and he meets the king's servant and says, go tell Ahab that I want to meet with him. He says, I don't want to do that, because he says he's been looking for you all over the place. And if I go tell him that you're here and then the Spirit of God takes you somewhere else, he's going to kill me in anger because I told him you were here and you're not. Elijah says, I'll be here when you get back. And so he goes and he gets Ahab. And then in 2 Kings, when the Lord does take him up in a fiery chariot, the other prophets say to Elisha, we've got 50 men, let us go and look for him. Because maybe the Holy Spirit, it just says the Spirit, has taken him and set him down somewhere else. Okay? So this was a phenomenon that, as unusual as it was not unheard of. And then you see something of that in Ezekiel 8:3. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, who talks about being caught up into the highest heaven, and he says, I don't know if it was in the body or out of the body. Okay? So, Pastor Wood, do you believe God does this kind of thing a lot? No, I think it's absolutely extraordinary. It was not typical. But when I read about God doing something extraordinary, I don't find it a stretch. Okay? The reason these things are recorded is not because they're ordinary. It's because they're miraculous. They're extraordinary. This is not the norm. You know, I could maybe believe in God if I saw miracles. No. You wouldn't. If you don't believe now, you wouldn't believe then. You remember the guy, the rich man who died, and he goes to Hades, and he's in misery, and it's like worse than the desert, and he says, oh, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to put some water on my tongue. He says, no, there's a great gulf between us, can't be done. He says, well, then please send him in order to let my brothers know. Abraham says, they have the scriptures. He says, yeah, but if somebody came back from the dead, then they'd believe. Abraham says, no. And this is Jesus speaking, telling the story. He says, if they don't believe the scriptures, they will not believe even if one should rise from the dead. Brothers and sisters, please understand, Jesus is risen from the dead, and he will be believed by those who want to know the truth. If you don't want to know the truth, it doesn't matter how many miracles happen. I've had people say, well, I'm not going to believe unless God does something. And I've said to them on more than one occasion, what would it take? Well, I don't know. Well, let's decide. What would it take for you to know that there is a God? Well, if this happened. And then it happened. I literally prayed and I said, Lord, please do this and show them. And it happened. And they still didn't believe. You know why? Didn't want to. Didn't want to. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech. There's no place on earth where you can go to get away from the fact that God is real. So, I implore you, believe God, believe His word, and do what He says. Because as we walk in obedience, He will give us further direction. But if you're saying, I'm just not sure I believe, as long as you keep that mindset, you're going to be stuck in the dark, and it does not end well.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.